This is the WGBH Forum Network.
I'm Julia Child. Bon appetit!
Before she changed the world, Julia Child was just an American living in France.
Shouldn't I find something to do?
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat!
And we are so good at it. Look at you! Now!
Growing in front of you!
But what does Julia Child have to do with me, lowly cubicle worker Julie Powell?
So how's your job, Julie?
Are you the person to speak to about my insurance form?
You can speak to me.
Do you have any power?
No.
Heartbreak.
So sad.
Painful.
Not in a bad way.
I don't know.
Do you think I'm lost? Is this lost? If you met me, would you think that woman is lost?
I would think that woman is strangely repetitive.
Did you hear what happened to this one?
Showtime bought my blog for a miniseries.
I could write a blog. I have thoughts.
Write a blog about cooking.
I'm not a real cook like Julia Child.
Julia Child wasn't always Julia Child.
Why don't I go to cooking school?
Bonjour!
The Julie/Julia Project. I cook my way through Julia Child's cookbook. 365 days, 524 recipes. I am risking my well-being for a deranged assignment.
Is it crazy?
Yes.
You should have seen the way those men looked at me.
But then they discovered I was fearless.
Oh, Julia, you make it sound so simple.
Your book is going to change the world.
What if I don't make my deadline? I've wasted a whole year of my life. I used to be thin and now I'm fat.
Just your face.
It's supposed to be a big adventure, but it just turns out to be a lot of meltdowns.
Yeah!
There's all of this stuff on the floor!
Oh, never apologize.
From writer-director Nora Ephron.
Good.
That is good, isn't it? It's
Meryl Streep, Amy Adams.
I was drowning and she pulled me out of the ocean.
Don't get carried away.
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
Mm. Oh my God.
You have no real talent for cooking.
Julie and Julia, based on two true stories.
I'm Corby Cover, and first of all, we have to applaud everyone on this stage for their roles in Julia's life and the movie, and then I will introduce them. So, if you haven't guessed, and those of you who know Judith will have seen from the actress in the movie that there was something desperately wrong with the casting, which is that Judith is one of the most beautiful women I've ever met, and I'm saying it in public. And that actress wasn't nearly beautiful enough. I know you will all agree. So, Judith Jones is senior editor and vice president at Knopf. She joined the company in 1957 as an editor working primarily on translations of French writers such as Albert Camus and Jean-Paul Sartre. She had worked before for Doubleday, first in New York and then in Paris, where she was responsible for reading and recommending the diary of Anne Frank. And if you've read Judith's memoirs, her portrait of life in Paris after the war and the excitement of who was there and what she was doing is really indelible. Over the years at Knopf, she's worked with many distinguished writers, including Elizabeth Bowen, John Hersey, Langston Hughes, William Maxwell, Sharon Olds, J.F. Powers, Arthur Rubinstein, I remember that book, yep. Peter Taylor, Anne Tyler, and for more than 40 years and more than 50 books, our own John Updike. She's been particularly interested in developing a list of first-rate cookbook writers. You must have written this. That's such a you word. First-rate cookbook writers. And her authors in that area have included Julia Child, Nancy Verdi Barr, Lydia Bastianich, James Beard, Mater Jaffrey, Irene Kuo, Edna Lewis, Joan Nathan, Jacques Pépin, whom you've probably all seen on this very stage, Claudia Rodin, Nina Simons, and Anna Thomas, among many others. And actually, my neighbor across the way, my neighbor whom I look at from my kitchen, wrote her book for Sherry Golden, wrote a book for Judith about vegetarianism, which I bought in the 70s. Please welcome to the stage Judith Jones. Russ Morash, who helped build this very building, figuratively, if not actually, given his expertise, providing home enthusiasts nationwide with award-winning programming. Russell Morash has been called the father of how-to and know-how television. In 1963, Russ teamed up with a budding cookbook author with an unmistakable accent, which, boy, is going to be ringing in our ears all night, thanks to Meryl Streep. And a marvelous sense of humor to create The French Chef with Julia Child. For the next 30 years, Russ and Julia created a number of cooking classics for television, which continue to represent the gold standard of that genre. Along the way, Russ has accumulated 14, count 'em, Emmy Awards, including 11 for Outstanding Director of a Service Show, and helped found PBS favorites This Old House and Victory Garden. He currently ranks 12th on the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences list of top 100 daytime Emmy Award winners, Russ Morash. Jasper White, whom I haven't seen in far too long and only thought about during the lobster scene. After receiving a formal culinary education from the Culinary Institute of America, Chef Jasper White spent years traveling throughout the country, studying food and cultivating new ideas from behind the hotline. He then settled in Boston in 1982 and carved out a niche in the local food scene, deconstructing classics on his haute cuisine menu at Jasper's restaurant. While this formula was successful for business and for those of us who went there all the time, even though we couldn't afford it when we first moved here, Jasper always sensed that he would eventually return to his culinary true love of hearty family-style cuisine. Authentic and flavorful, not fussy. He's currently the chef proprietor of the much-loved, by all of us, Summer Shack at Mohegan Sun and Cambridge Resort and Casino in Connecticut, Boston's Back Bay, and right here where a lot of us really will go if we didn't have such a beautiful reception waiting for us right after here at Fresh Pond. From its inception, the Summer Shacks have received enthusiastic reviews, including from me, from local and national press, including the 2001 James Beard Award nomination for Best New Restaurant. Please welcome our own Jasper White. Now, I've got to lead off the question with something unfair, but Judith, you must be prepared for this, which is, what would Julia think? Everyone wants to hear what you would say, and it's such a tough question, but everyone wants to know.
Well, I think it's very hard to see yourself on, is it depicted on screen, and but I do think that Julia really would have respected and been won by the miraculous performance the Meryl Streep does. She becomes Julia. You sometimes, looking at those pictures out there, you wonder which is which. And Julia admired quality. And it's there.
So. It was startling to see Meryl Streep do it, which I got to do. And were you on the set at all? Did you visit
filming? No, I didn't go to any of this.
Because it was just amazing to see, I guess, that actors do this. They just get into character and they stay in character. So even between takes, I was there when she was filming the scene where she meets her two collaborators in the powder room. And she did so many takes. That was fascinating to watch the way Nora Ephron worked. She made them do many readings of that scene. And in some of them, you know, Meryl Streep veered into caricature. And I think that not in almost none of this does she veer into caricature. And I think that's because Nora held her back. I've got to ask Russ, did you ever stop her from veering into her own caricature?
I don't think it's possible for a 24-something kid who meets a giant like this in the kind of situation I was in to make that sort of analysis.
Was it tough, in fact, to have such a huge personality to work with? Was that, tell us about how unconventional it was and how you decided to embrace it.
Corby, I wish I could say that when we came onto the set the first time or the last time that we thought of Julia as an enormous, powerful talent that had to be handled, That just wasn't the way she was. She was as plain folks as you could possibly be. And she treated me and I treated her as if we were and are good friends who needed no disguises between us. And she was a very down-to-earth person, is what I'm saying.
Well, also, I imagine that what you see in the movie is her digging in and collaborating. And I'm sure that Judith, both of you had to kind of help rein that in, but also she participated. She was always there and always working from what I knew of her.
The energy was incredible. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that, if you don't mind my saying, Russ's great gift was that he let her be spontaneous. And it was never planned. I mean, obviously the segments were worked out, but it just happened as she looked at the. I remember once she fished out the little herb bouquet, and it had been boiling and boiling, so it was gray and sinister looking, and she just picked it out and said, "Looks like a dead mouse." Plop.
One time we were working on Roast Suckling Pig, and she characterized that as smelling like burned babies. And I said, "Oh." I mean, she had a dark side, didn't she? But with only limited, and we didn't say, "Julie, you can't say that." We just maybe raised an eyebrow or two.
But you could always cut it. Jasper, you must have cooked with her, and you must have experienced that collaborative spirit a lot.
Yeah, and I worked with her on Cooking with Master Chefs. And
I remember.
This is the first time I've ever watched a movie about someone who was a friend of mine.
And what was it like?
I need to digest it, really. Yeah. You know, I really do need to digest it because, I mean, I don't know of anyone else who could have done that better than Meryl Streep, but it seemed like there were little parts, there were little subtleties that were, you know, missing, you know, from knowing her as a friend. But
in fact, you've touched on something I'd like everybody on the panel who knew her so intimately and so well to say.
I have to say one thing, though.
Say lots.
I mean, I feel a little almost embarrassed to be here with Judith and Russ because my role in Julia's life was the last 25 years of her life, and it was a lot smaller, and I didn't know the younger Julia. I knew her.
But nonetheless, you knew her, and there are things that struck you as not being part of the portrait, which might not have been Nora Ephron's aim, but what is it that you missed?
How do I put it? There's an intelligence about Julia that I don't think came through completely. It seemed like she was more obsessed with just the cooking. But I mean, it's a movie, so
exactly.
I don't know what I could expect. And Julia loved movies, by the way. So I think she would have, mm-hmm. I don't know if she would have loved what happened, but I think she would have respected Meryl Streep's job. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting in the movie that the producers, Nora was able to comment on Julia's dislike of this project, if that's the word. She
that
was concerned about
it. That is such a sore subject.
Yeah, it is. And for them to bring it up, I think, is impressive. Because she probably would either like it or not like it, and apparently she didn't. She never discussed it with us, so I wouldn't know one way or the other. But it's quite like her not to like it.
Yes.
And so that's where that one stood, and it was brilliant, I think, to put that in the film.
I was surprised to see it myself. Did you know that they would make reference to that?
No, I didn't know that. No. But.
Judith, how did you feel about being late for dinner or being unable to come to dinner for just rain? Did you feel a little funny about that?
Well, I felt it was interesting
really
both to be a villain and a savior.
it's a movie.
I was going to go out and see Julie because I hardly knew what a blog was. I wanted to see what she was doing, what the rights and the recipes were. It was a business. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was invited for dinner, but
you didn't.
No, but that's. I mean, poetic license. Come on, made it more of a.
But were you invited to dinner? Were you going there at 8 o'clock in Queens?
No, I was going out on a Saturday,
So they have taken license.
I think so, yeah. Or maybe that's the way Julie remembers
also,
it.
Also, there's an indelible story, except that I'm probably misremembering it, that Cheryl Julian told in a piece about Judith. And you were in an accident in where? In Vermont?
Yeah.
In a car? And tell us about getting out of that car.
Well, I was going, it was quite late at night, and there was a just tremendous rainstorm, and I go up a dirt road up our mountain, and all of a sudden, this little bridge started sinking, and the car with it, and it was pretty sinister, so I thought, I better get out, and I opened the door, I had my little dog with me, and we were just hurled down a stream had become a river, a torrent, and I got out really by clinging to trees on the side and pulled myself up and hid in a tree and then started shouting at the top of my lungs. And
is this a woman who wouldn't get on a subway to Queens? It clearly,
because it was raining.
It clearly is not. And I remember your quote, which was that an assistant of yours had introduced you to yoga, and I think of it every Saturday morning, struggling in yoga class. I think, Judith, it saved her life. It will save all of our lives because of Judith's example. Because you have that same fortitude that Julia had. And so it makes a nice plot point in the movie, but it's not what Judith would have done. Russ, her big personality and working with her, was it hard sometimes to keep up with her energy? And was she directive of the way the sequences should be shot?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She did not consider herself technically competent, although she probably was, to comment on our side of it. And aside from saying that she liked a certain shot, for example, she you see Paul Child with his Rolleiflex trying to take pictures. If anyone, I bet half the people in this room are too young to ever look through a Rolleiflex. It's a hateful thing because it's upside down and backwards.
I have that camera from my father.
Oh, my God, you can't take a good picture with it because it's when you move it this way and you tilt down, the thing goes up. And so it's the way it's the way the mirrors work in it. It's very difficult to frame a shot. So, and he always does it with on his belt. So he was trying to get a shot of the chicken, and Julia was insistent that all of us who worked with her remember that what's important is the object, not her face. She never said that, but she encouraged us to shoot the objects rather than the people. Now, I won't name any names, but you look at most cooking shows, and it's all about the face. And it's all about the lighting on the... So Julia didn't care a whit about that.
And yet her personality was so strong that she's considered to have launched the entire craze for cooking shows on television.
Yeah, well, I mean, a little bit of history there. There were no outlets. The thing I found odd about this is the scene that they tossed in about Paul coming up with the idea that she'd be great on television. Totally
right.
Impossible. I think that's rubbish. But it's a movie.
But could you tell us? I mean, in fact, as I've read it, and you would know perfectly well, didn't she come in to try to promote her book?
Mm-hmm. That's why she was there.
And she was on one sequence.
Right.
And
yes,
right.
It was a sort of literary show. I've been reading
with P. Albert Duhamel, the
her
late.
Eggs and her omelet pan and a little burner just in case.
Right. Which was pretty smart.
Pretty smart. Yeah.
She was pretty
but
smart.
You asked me earlier on, Corby, about whether she. She led the forces as far as the energy, and I think there are enough people in this audience that didn't hear me the last time I was here. Well, I can tell this story again. We were shooting her in Norway, a thing called Taste of Norway, where she revisited the country that she and Paul were in for several years, and thus it was that we decided to cook up a helicopter tour where she's to get in this helicopter and fly off following a full 8 hours of, I don't know, a vodka distillery and a pig farm and cooking salmon and various other things, that we pushed her right to the limit. And then the end of the day, we were going to take the helicopter, and we wanted to photograph her getting in the helicopter and the helicopter. So they got two helicopters for us. So we were in the chase helicopter, and she was in her helicopter, so to speak, with some nice French young men that she really liked very much. So I don't know how they got into the Norwegian helicopter, come to think of it. Anyway, so this is, and in Norway in the summertime, of course, it's got about 23 hours of daylight. So we had no idea what time it was, but it was late. And up go the helicopters, and we're photographing it, and she's apparently in this other helicopter, and so forth, and she was. And she came to come on the ground before us. We had the shot of her coming down on the ground. And the one of the pilots got out, and he said to me, she's asleep. Now, this was a very active, up the mountains, over the snowfield, down through the waterfalls, and Julia was totally asleep. So we woke her up and got her into the cars, and then a half-hour drive into the hotel, and my beloved wife, Marion, was with us. And she and I were just wasted. We were absolutely, was nothing left in the tank that day. We'd eaten 500 meals that day and drunk everything, and now the helicopter and Marion had come by car. What a day. And we're in this little village. Well, the bed was there. We flopped on the bed. Ring. Bedside telephone. Pick it up. Where are we going to dinner? I mean, energy that wouldn't quit right up until the very last.
Were you on the American Institute of Wine and Food, in which she was enormously active for many years, the trip to Puget Sound in Seattle?
Yeah.
with a biplane? We were going to an oyster farm. I have no idea why I was on this trip, but I was. And she waded in. She got off the biplane and just rolled up her khakis as if they'd come straight from the old Abercrombie and Fitch, the explorer outfit, and she waded up to all of the waiting oyster culturers. And it was as if she was Margaret Mead, who had come to discover them. You know, and they were just in awe. You know, this great white woman coming at them. So she had that enormous energy. Jasper, did you collaborate? And what was she like? I remember her. I watched some of the shoots at her house that you were part of. And I remember her being enormously generous to the people she was shooting with.
She was so loving, so great to work with. And when I shot Master Chefs with her, there was a controversy about whether we should kill a lobster on television or not because of the PETA element out there. And
which was already there?
Oh, yeah. It was already present. And I went to meet with her a couple days before, and she said, you know, we don't know about this killing this lobster. And what if we poach it first, like just a little bit? And I was like, yeah, but it wouldn't be as good. Well, what if, is there any other way we can do it? And I said, well, no, because, you know, when you roast the shells, the flavor goes into the oil, the blah, 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 blah. And she said, okay, we'll kill the lobster. And she said, but you got to do it really fast. And I cut up two live lobsters in about 30 seconds, like the fastest I ever did. And she just kept a real cool, you know, stone face, and it was shot. And we didn't get many comments at all. Somebody wrote to Reader's Digest and said, you know, Jasper's a cruel freak of a human being. But it was always about the truth. And anybody who knows Julia also knows you never quite knew what she was going to say next or what to expect. And, you know, again, I think that that element's missing a little bit. And I also was thinking about Meryl Streep. She really did a beautiful job, and Julia's story is so much more important than Julie's story. I wonder if we wasted her not doing the whole Julia story.
Everybody's going to say that when the reviews come out, don't you think? Yeah. There was a profile of Nora Ephron in The New Yorker about 2 weeks ago or a week ago in which the reviewer who'd quoted Nora Ephron, who is a superb journalist, in an early piece when she was taking a woman she liked, the subject of her profile, Dolly Schiff, the owner of The New York Post, and said, I don't like what I'm going to do here, because she eviscerated this woman. And the writer of the profile at the end says, I don't like what I'm going to do here. And she says, Meryl Streep is such an overpowering presence that it's really boring when Julie Powell's on the screen. And all you do is resent her for not being Meryl Streep. And I think that a lot of people are going to feel that.
It did start as the Julie and Julia story. It started as Julie's story, and it was Nora Ephron's genius, I think, to see this as, to bring the Julia story in and see these two as sort of parallel, yet not parallel lives. I mean, it gave a dimension to it, but it did start.
Yes, and I have to, and I'm so glad that Nora used Alex Prudhomme's book, which is the memoir of my life in France, and I owe him an enormous apology by email tonight because I haven't seen this yet, and he was on the other side of me when I was an extra in that in one of the scenes, and I'm talking to Julia Child Prudhomme. You knew she had a great niece named for her. And she plays two parts. She plays first the extra I'm talking to right behind Julie and Bertolt and Simca Beck. And also she plays the bridge instructor because she's a professional actress in Los Angeles. And that's what she does. She's an actress, so of course she had to get a part in this movie. But Alex's book is terrific, and he's a real writer, which is so I was
well, this
so glad.
This was such an interesting challenge because he literally was channeling Julia. I mean, they're her words, and yet he just sort of put it all together into a coherent
Well, it's very
story.
Loving, and he's a craftsman and a real writer, and he's written a book on municipal water and bottled water that's going to come out this fall, and I'm really looking forward to. I wanted to ask you. You and Russ briefly about Paul's role on the set and in the book, because he plays such an important part in this movie, and you knew him in life. So could you talk about their collaboration as you saw it?
Well, when I first met them, that was what I was immediately struck by, that how they worked together and how, in a sense, Paul quietly enabled Julia. And, you know, just go for it. I mean, it was kind of a fantastic idea that this woman who knew nothing about French food a couple of years later is teaching it and then taking on the task of mastering the art of French cooking
outrageous.
With these two Frenchmen.
Absolutely.
But
outrageous.
Paul was always believed in it. And I can remember his saying, Julie, submit it to the test. Yeah. And that was...
If there's anything a bit off on the movie... it's his characterization. I like what Tucci did with the thing, but Paul was a dour character. Mm-hmm. He was not a smiley, happy-go-lucky kind of a guy.
I always thought maybe he was before I met him.
No. And he never had big glasses that he looked through. He always looked over his glasses, which I think they really missed, and I missed that. But he never cracked a smile. I mean, he said some very funny things, and if he did, he was very quiet, especially when any stranger was present or any other than Julia was present, and I find that a little off. But they had a great love affair, and a great affection between them, and that was beautifully. Touched on here.
Even late in life, and I'm sure Jasper saw them and lots of people in this audience, she was so enormously devoted to him. It was clear that he was the center of her life. I am now going to invite you all to a reception that I had a preview of, and it reminded me of these students have completely done their very best to make the most beautiful food out there. And we're going to get to enjoy it, but it's really for Julia. And they're cooking for Julia the way Julie Powell does in this. And the first time I met Julia, I was just out of college and interviewing her. And a caterer who knew her or had written to her was also invited to lunch at the Irving Street house, which was 103. Why did they change it to 130 in that envelope? And it was clear she had spent days and days cooking the food. She drove up from Baltimore. I have no idea who it was. But this woman had driven from Baltimore to take lunch to Julia. And Jasper and the people who, because I see some in the audience, who cooked numerous times for Julia.
We didn't do it just for a year. We did it for a lot of years. And it's part of what I think made all of us better. I used to tell my cooks every night, you know, Julia might be in tonight, because she didn't always make the reservations under it wasn't always under her name. Sometimes someone was entertaining and, you know, she'd walk in, and so
the
it was
shock
like every
on
night
people's
you had
faces
to be ready.
When I would bring her in. You know, they were like have heart attacks.
Every night you had to be ready, and that was a really good thing.
So the greatest thing this movie could do is to keep another generation cooking for Julia, as we'll all get out to enjoy right now. Thank you all for coming, and thank you very much.